This is my third and final week talking about Mind the Gap. All right, so it's been a great series, I think. Lots of good revelations from it. So the first week we said that there is a gap between when we pray and when we see the answer. And that gap is a spiritual answer. A spiritual gap. And then we need to think about, how are we going to fill that gap? Are we going to fill it with doubt and unbelief, or are we going to fill it with faith? We also said that the gap is a seedbed of spiritual activity, but we are the ones that have to plant the seeds. Then last week, we said we must use our authority and release God's power into the gap. And I brought this revelation that if we say what God says, then God will begin to work on our behalf in that gap, in that waiting time. So far it's been all about everything that we need to do to plant seeds, to use our authority, to speak the words of God with power. But this week I want to say that we can also find rest in the gap while we're waiting for the answer to come. So here's a couple of definitions of the word to rest. It means to cease from work in order to recover strength, to be supported so as to stay in a specified position, e.g. her elbow rested on the table. So let's take a look at these definitions of the verb to rest. So first of all, I want us to note it is a verb. And a verb is an action. If you remember way back to primary school, a verb is a doing word. You do something. So a person at rest isn't necessarily doing nothing. They're doing something. This says they're recovering their strength. That's what we do every night when we go to bed. We recover our strength. We get hopefully 7 or 8 hours sleep, and that recovers us for the next day so we can face whatever's happening in our lives. When we rest in God, we're relying on His strength instead of our own. To cease from work isn't necessarily doing nothing, but it means we're no longer striving. It's no longer this huge, big effort. I must push this boulder uphill. Okay, so we're resting in the middle of whatever it is that's going on in our situation. We know what God said. We've spoken it out into our seedbed, and we're trusting Him for the outcome. So here is my first revelation today. We can rest in our gap while God works on our behalf. We don't need to be always striving because we've not seen the answer yet. You know, second, that this meaning for the definition of to rest, it says to rest is to be supported in a specified position. So if God has told us to stay somewhere, we stay there until God tells us to move on. I can remember years and years ago, so you're talking over 30 years ago because it was before we were married, and I was in a job and I was fairly miserable. At lunchtimes, I might be in the ladies' room crying. A lot of the staff were. It was not a good place to work. And I was really quite miserable in this job. I'd been there maybe about 4 years at this point. And I can remember praying about it and asking that another job would open up, and nothing was opening up for me. And I came to this conclusion that whatever I needed to learn in that place, I wanted to learn it. I didn't want to go round the mountain and round the mountain and round the mountain if I got a new job because I had to learn patience or whatever it was somewhere else. I said to God, I want to stay here until I'm grey and I retire. Now, bearing in mind I was a lot younger then. I want to stay here, God, until I'm grey and I retire. If that is what you want, I am willing to do that. And I was in that job a few more years, but I stayed there in the position because God gave me that job. I got that job when there was about 90 of us graduated from teacher training college, and there's only 6 of us had a job at graduation, and I was one of them. God gave me that job, and I just decided I was not going to run away from it. And I stayed there until He released me. And I was there maybe even another 2 or 3 years. And finally, someone came along and married me. And I got to leave. I got to leave that job. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? So all I'm saying is encouraging you, stay beside your gap. Remember the vision I had the first week of the person standing beside this massive big crater about the size of a football pitch, meters and meters across and several meters deep. And that was their gap, and they needed God to fill it, and it was a huge gap. So I'm encouraging you, don't run away from that gap. Like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to get a different job. I'm going to get a different husband or a different wife. I'm just going to run away and do something. Stick with the one you've got. Work it through and believe God that he's got a plan for you, and he is there in that gap. So the third thing from this definition of the word to rest is that if we're resting, then someone or something can be supporting us. And the example here is of a person resting their elbow on the table. Now imagine if I was resting my elbow on the table and a jacket comes along and pulls the table away. Okay? I'm going to get a bit of a fright there if that happens. So this person was resting while the table was supporting her. Folks, when we rest in God, it means we are allowing God to support us. We're allowing him to give us his rest and his peace while we're waiting on this massive gap in our prayer life to be filled. To be able to rest in God means leaning on him, and it is a wonderful place to be. The bank balance might be in the red, but we're resting in God. The doctor's report might not be good, but we're resting in God. We're standing beside our gap, and it might be a huge need, but we have planted the seeds, we have spoken with power, we've spoken with authority, and we are trusting God to fill it. We can't do any more but trust him and rest in him. Trusting in his word and not the words of man. Not what other people are saying to us. Not that negative report. I love the scripture in Romans 3 and verse 4. And it simply says this. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Someone might come to you and say, this is impossible to change. Absolutely impossible to change your situation. It's never going to change. But that is the word of man, and it is not the word of God. Folks, God's word is true, and it should be our main support. I've had the words of man come to me and say, if you don't get this treatment, you will die. I've been in that situation twice where I've almost died. Twice, if I hadn't received treatment or I hadn't received a miracle from God, then I wouldn't be standing here. And so I had to take the words that man was saying to us. Sandra, you need to sign this form. You need to sign the form that says we can cut you open 18 inches and take out whatever we need to take out. And if the worst come to worst, we'll stick a colostomy bag on as well. And you need to sign the form. What do you want to do, Sandra? I said, I want you to take all these tubes out my arm and I want to go home. That's what I said. I don't want to listen to the negative report of man. And you need to stick with the gap until you get a turning in your situation, until you get something that you can lay your hands on and something that you can grip hold of. And generally speaking, it's the word of God. The word of God is true, and this report is a lie, and it's going down. Because the first report is not the last report. And I'm proof of that. So God's word is true, and it should be our main support in any gap. Words have power. And positive words are good, but negative words can shatter us. Absolutely pull the rug out from under our feet. They can cause a huge gap in our life. So what can we do to fill it? We can let God's word support us. Speak out every scripture you can find on your situation and speak it out until the situation changes. Because it's the truth. And the truth sets us free to rest in God. To find that place, that calm in the middle of the storm. We need to find the eye and just stand in the middle of it and let everything rage about us, but say, I'm standing in this and I'm not listening to what you're saying. I had the specialist come into the hospital room after I'd had an operation. One time I needed an operation, and he came in and he had the entourage of young trainee doctors around him. And I was not a well woman. I was sitting there with my head on my hands, resting on the little table that goes across your bed, looking at the alarm clock that I'd taken in. Because the nurse told me I had to sit up for 2 hours. And if I didn't sit up for 2 hours every day, I wasn't going home. So I'm just sitting there like that, looking at this alarm clock. And any walk says, how are you? Well, I've had better hair days than this one, you know. Then he starts to tell me what my results would be. When we get your results on Thursday, we will discuss treatment. I said, stop right there. I don't want to discuss anything until you've got your results. No, 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 I understand that. But when we get your results on Thursday, this is what might happen. I said, stop right there. I don't want to discuss that. Three times I had to tell him to be quiet. I was very, very polite. He said, you don't understand. I went, no, you don't understand. I refuse to discuss this until you have results. Because we'd already had two wrong results spoken over us. Both of them were wrong. And I asked him to please, politely, please be quiet. Please don't speak anything negative over me. Because I can't let God be true in my mind and the enemy a liar if they're speaking the lies over me. And so we waited until we had the phone call. We were at home by then, and it was one evening about 6 o'clock, and we're sitting around the table, and I'm trying to start eating something because I hadn't eaten for a long time, and the phone rang. And so I picked it up, and it was this person from the Western Hospital in Edinburgh. And they said to me, Sandra, you must have someone looking after you because your results are all clear. No further treatment required. And praise God, because I had been given so many negative results, but we stood on the word of God and people prayed for us and we spoke the word of God and we planted those seeds in our gap until God came through and changed it and filled the gap with his power. Words are powerful. We need to let God support us with the word of God and speak out every scripture we can find on it because it's the truth. So here's my next revelation today. The word of God is a place of rest. If you can find the right scripture for your situation, you can speak it out, and you can rest on it. It's a place of rest. When we speak God's word, we rest from worry and fear and anxiety and dread. God's word is the answer to all of these. This is what Joyce Meyer says. Experiencing his rest is one way you can tell if you're really in faith. When you truly enter the realm of faith, you enter into the rest of God. Rest is freedom from struggle, fear, worry, and frustration, which develop because of our working to do what only God can do. So this says if we're in rest, we're in faith. Therefore, the opposite must be true. If we're not in rest, we're not in faith. We've let anxiety and unbelief and all of these things in. Hebrews 3 and verse 19 says this. They were not able to enter into his rest because of their unwillingness to trust in and rely on God. Unbelief had shut them out. Wow, what a fantastic little scripture. We Bobby Dazzler there, just sneak that one in, okay? Having faith in God means we can enter his rest. But when our faith wavers, unbelief comes in like a flood and it can shatter us and destroy us. Unbelief shuts out faith because faith and unbelief are complete opposites. They're at war with each other. Faith pulls you in one direction. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I'm looking at the word of God. Unbelief pulls you in the other direction. Oh, I'm worried about this. I'm so anxious about this. This is a massive gap. God will never fill it. They're complete opposites. Okay, we can have both at the same time, but it's much better to be in faith. Because the more we're in faith, the further away from unbelief we are. We need to move in that realm of faith. They are complete opposites, and they are warring in our mind for that place. Unbelief will never bring you rest, but faith will. We have to resist unbelief and stay in faith. Keep trusting God and his word at all costs. Entering the rest of God means we're trusting him to do what we just cannot do. I couldn't change that doctor's report, but God did. We can rest while God works, but if we don't trust, we won't rest. We'll always be trying to work it out for ourselves. So here's another revelation. Not believing God will keep us in works and rob us of rest. It'll keep us trying to work it out. Yes, we need to speak the word of God, but leave the anxiety behind once we've done that. When we rest, we're trusting that God will do what he said he'd do in his word. We must learn to let go of the situation and let God. Once we've done our part, let God do his part and just keep thanking him for it. We need to take a rest from worry and anxiety and fear and dread and every other negative emotion that bombards our minds. Even God rested The Bible says in Genesis 2:2, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Even God took a break. You know, he might have even had a Kit Kat. You know, have a break, have a Kit Kat. Who remembers that advert? Yeah, showing my age. He might have even had a Kit Kat, I don't know. Look at Hebrews 4, verse 10. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. You know, if God rested from his work, then it would be a good idea if we did the same. It also says that entering into rest requires effort. It says here, make every effort. It's an effort to rest. It's an effort to stop worrying. We have to strive to enter that place. It doesn't come automatically. Most people are born natural worriers. Something happens. Some people worry more than others, but I guarantee that every single person in this room has worried about something at some point. Every single one of us is worried about something. And so it's natural to worry about it. It takes every effort not to worry. If I find myself beginning to worry, I think, oh, I've prayed about that and I'm still anxious about it. I just find a scripture and I repeat the scripture about it or the phrase or whatever. I repeat it over and over until the rest comes. A few years ago when Neil got made redundant, God just gave me this phrase. Well, we had scriptures like God will supply all of our needs according to his riches in heaven. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. What the doors that he opens, no man can shut. So we're praying all sorts of scriptures over the situation. But at the same time, God gave me this phrase, we will not be out of pocket by one penny. Not by one. And I just kept repeating it. So did the fear come into my head? Yes. Did I think, oh my goodness, we're not going to make the mortgage payment? Yes. But every time that fear came into me, I knew I was no longer in rest. I was in this place of unbelief. And so I just repeated either one of the scriptures or just said, I'm not going to worry about that because we're not going to be out of pocket by one penny. And I just kept repeating it until the rest came. Sometimes you want to strive to find that place of peace. You want to speak out the word of God until it happens. It's also impossible to rest if our emotions are off the scale. You know, if we're just way up there with whatever and frantic about something. So here, I felt I had a prophetic word for someone today. It's time to take a rest from your emotions. Give them to God. Give the worry, the care, the anxiety. Give them to God and rest. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments, imaginations, and every pretension that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is a fantastic scripture. If you don't go home with anything else, go home with this one. Write this one on a post-it. Stick it on the biscuit tin. Stick it beside the coffee jar, wherever you go the most, and learn this one for your life. So many emotions can rise up when we are waiting for God to move in our gap. And we think, this prayer is never going to be answered. God's not heard me. And all of these negatives. And our imagination can run riot. It's like, especially if it's been a negative doctor's report. What if this happens? What if that doesn't happen? What if the blood results aren't good? And our imagination starts to go. And our thoughts can be out of control. When we don't see the answer to that prayer, our thoughts can be like a yo-yo. He loves me, he doesn't care. He's heard me, he's not listening, he's gone on holiday. Okay, so our emotions are all over the place and our imagination runs riot. Emotions and a wild imagination leave our minds spinning. There's no rest whatsoever. And all attempts to rest just fly out the window. It says here, We demolish the arguments. We take every thought captive. Folks, we are the ones who need to control our emotions and our imaginations. No one else can do it for me. Neil can't do it for me. I can't do it for Neil. We have to do it for ourselves. And that means controlling every thing that comes in our mind that is against the word of God. We have to bring them down. It says, take them captive. Capture every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So if my head is fearful, I need to say, you're not of God. I'm making you obedient to Christ. Because perfect love casts out fear. And God loves me with a perfect love. Fear is not from God. We need to take the thought captive. We're the ones that need to do it. Wild emotions, if we don't take them under control, and we don't capture those imaginations, this massive big gap that we're standing behind beside will be filled with all our turmoil of emotions and our wild imaginations instead of being filled with the power of God. That's what will be swirling around in our gap, in our lives. Instead of God hovering there, emotions and imaginations will be, if we let them. It's up to us. It says we need to take them captive. So focus on the true knowledge of God, because if it's true, we can rest on it. Entertaining anything else will leave us up the creek without a paddle. That's where it will leave us, just with a mind that's spinning and a whole lot of rubbish going through it. Don't doubt, but have faith in God. So here is another revelation today. Rest is found in faith in God. It's only when we're trusting Him that we will be at rest. This is what it says in James 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, because I'm the first one to put my hand up to say, I know there's been times in my life where I've been double-minded. It's been yes, no, he loves me, he doesn't love me. So I know I'm not the only one in this room. I have been that double-minded person, and it just makes you unstable in your walk with God. We must ask in faith and remain in faith without doubting. So being tossed like a wave, a little boat at sea with these massive big waves isn't fun. There's no rest in it. And for me personally, it just makes me want to reach for the sick bag. I'm not good on boats. I don't mind trains. I don't mind planes, but I don't do boats, okay? So whenever we're on a boat, the seasickness tablet is first. Finding a corner to lie down and sleep is second, okay? We had a trip in the summer there out on the boat. The whole family, the five of us were on the boat. I'm like, who's wanting sickness tablets? I took one. My oldest daughter took one because she was pregnant anyway and being sick. Everyone else was really brave. No, we're too cool. We're the men. You know, I'm the man. Don't need a sickness tablet. So I fell asleep. 2 hours later, I waken up. Nearly everybody in the boat's got a sick hat in front of them. Everybody's thrown up. Even Neil threw up. My son-in-law threw up. The only trooper, the wee one, walking about on the boat, chatting to people, making friends with other teenagers, and not one bit as sick. Everybody else was sick. Her and I, we were sorted, because I had to my tablet and I went to sleep. So you want to take me on the cruise, that's fine, but I won't be out the room, I'll be sleeping the whole time. Don't do boats, okay? So the thought of being tossed to and fro in the wind just doesn't do it for me. And I can remember this. I've not had very many dreams from God. I think probably three at the most in the last 40 odd years or whatever. This one was so clear and so distinctive that I just wakened up and I knew it was God. And the dream probably lasted 1 minute. And I even knew what I was wearing. I was wearing this. It was blue. It was pale blue what I was wearing. I remember it was just the color of your shirt, Vivian. I was wearing pale blue in this dream. And in my life at that point, I had a situation. I did not know what to do with it. It was A, is it B? Is it A? Is it B? Is it yes? Is it no? And I was in turmoil the whole time in my mind. There was no rest. There was no peace. So God gave me this dream. And in the dream, it was like two different videos. And one side of the dream, there was me in this blue outfit, and I'm like a chicken on a roasting spit. So I'm like in the leapfrog position, but it was like I was on a skewer, and I'm just spinning head over heels, just over and over and over. The whole picture was just spinning. And then boom, over here, the dream just went to this side, and I'm just sitting on the floor with the legs out to one side, leaning on my hand, resting, completely at peace with my eyes shut. And I just felt God saying to me, Sandra, you're like this, you're spinning, and I need you to be like this, at rest. I wakened, and I had complete rest from that minute onward about the whole situation, and I trusted God for it. You just need to hear from God. It can take 1 minute, it can take 30 seconds. Sometimes it's not even a sentence. It can be one little three-word phrase out of the Bible, and it's enough to stand on and give us rest. I was no good to God while my emotions were in charge or my imagination was in charge of my life. I had to have faith in God, and then I was able to rest in Him. So from that moment onward, I still didn't know the answer. I still didn't know if it was A or B. Actually, between you and I, it turned out to be C. Turned out to be none of the above, but that's another story. And so I still didn't know the answer, but I trusted God for the answer. And he eventually he showed me the answer. This is my last scripture today, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. This is an incredibly powerful little sentence from the Bible. They're talking about Jesus. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. This is a picture of what happened in heaven after the resurrection. So we'd had the cross, and Jesus had died, and he'd been put in the tomb, and the stone had been rolled over. But then the angels came, and they rolled the stone away, and Jesus had gone down to the gates of hell, and he'd taken back the keys to death and hell, and all the authority that the enemy had, and he gave it back to mankind. And after all this had happened, he went up into heaven. So Jesus had just provided salvation for the world, and then he sat down. Why? Why did he sit down? Was he exhausted? I would have been. No, he wasn't exhausted. He was the Son of God. He wasn't exhausted. Do you know what? Do you want to know why he sat down? Who wants to know why he sat down? Jesus sat down because he was finished. He was finished. He'd done it all for us. He'd won our salvation. He'd paid the price for our healing. All the atonement, everything that the cross paid for, he was finished. His work was done. It was complete. Jesus sitting down was not a gesture of tiredness. It was a symbol of victory. I've done it for you guys. I've done it for you gentlemen. I've done it for you ladies. I've done it and I've won it. Whatever your gap is, whatever you need filled in that gap, Jesus has done it already. And we can speak the word of God and we can rest on it. Rest assured that he will do what he's told us he will do. Jesus was done. Jesus had won the greatest victory of all time. Triumph over the enemy, triumph over evil and sin and sickness and death. So now he could rest from his work because it was finished. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. So I want us to note this. Jesus did the work for us so we could rest in him when we're waiting on the answers to our prayers. Once we've released God's power into the gap, we're finished. Once we've planted our spiritual seeds, we can have faith in God that they will grow. Once we've spoken the power-packed word of God over the situation, remember, we flicked the switch. We said that last week. His power is flowing into our gap. It is time to sit down and believe it is working. God is doing it. We can rest in the fact God is working for us and not against us. We can rest in the fact that we've spoken his word and it will not return void, the Bible says. We can release God's power into the gap and then we can rest. I don't mean that we do nothing. Remember, the girl was leaning on the table. Remember, they were recovering their strength. We're not doing nothing. We're leaning on God. We're recovering our strength. We're leaning on him with an attitude of rest, having faith in his word and speaking it until we see it come to pass, believing God's working on our behalf, filling our gap, and he's hovering like a spirit hovered over the waters on the day of creation. He's hovering over our gap and working for us according to the words we've spoken over it. That is how you mind the gap in your life and see God fill it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.